Hello. Welcome to the SoPod Network. I'm Chris Womack, Chairman, President, and CEO of Southern Company. Today's episode is deeply important to me. I talk a lot across the company of all of us taking care of ourselves. Mental health awareness and our overall well-being are critical aspects of our lives that need daily attention given the constant challenges we face both professionally and personally. My focus and commitment goes beyond mere awareness. It's about actively fostering a culture and an environment and establishing expectations that not only recognizes but also champion the overall well-being of each and every person on our team. This journey is about thriving, how we can all do it collectively. That's the essence of who we are at Southern Company. We are one team. We are all in this together. In this episode, we'll delve into one of the many topics that is important to our well-being, and that is the importance of psychological safety in the workplace and its critical role in nurturing mental health and well-being. Thank you for tuning in. Be safe, take care of yourself, and take care of each other.
You're listening to the SoPod Network.
Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the SoPod Network. I'm Bentina, and I'm honored to be your guest host for this episode. Today, we're going to talk about a topic that is important to lots of people, including myself, because it's something we can all relate to, and that's mental health. I'd like to say that during the pandemic, we were all very, very stressed, and it made a lot of sense that we would be struggling from a mental health perspective. But even after the pandemic was over, once or twice, I actually found myself in the middle of the night waking up, catching my breath, was what it felt like. And I thought, what did I do? What did I not do? What did I forget? Luckily, I had a really close friend who ran a mental health organization. She was a therapist, and she said, "My friend, I think you need to talk to somebody." And it was one of the best decisions I ever made. So I have a therapist now. Her name is Whitney. And Whitney helps me when I need someone to talk to about what's going on in my life. And we all should look for people like Whitney. So today, we're going to talk about Mental Health Awareness Month. And it's about checking in on ourselves and others, like my friend Megan did, and remembering that having these conversations about mental health removes the stigma behind it. This shouldn't be something that we're scared to talk about. We go to the gym when we don't feel well physically or want to get better. We go to the doctor when we want to be better. You should go to a therapist or seek help when mentally you'd like to be in great shape. Today, specifically, though, we're going to talk about psychological safety. And if you hadn't heard that term before, that's okay. We'll work on defining it for you here today, as well as talking about how we can create a culture of psychological safety in our own workplace. Before we introduce our guest today, I'll tell you that everyone can benefit from understanding what psychological safety is. Whether you're an employee or a manager or a company leader, you have a role to play in creating psychological safety for those that work around you. I often say, too, as a leader, when it comes to mental health, one way to think about it is, you know, when you're on that plane and they say, put on your mask before you put it on others, it's the same thing with your mental health. It's important for you to make sure that you're paying attention to your psychological safety, how you're creating an environment where you are mentally, in order for you to be able to help other folks, too. I'm be the first to say that I am certainly not an expert in this space, and we can all learn to be better. So joining me today is Haas. How you doing, Haas?
I'm doing well, Bentina. Thank you for having me.
Thanks. And he talks about this topic often to Southern Company employees. So Haas, thank you for joining me. Tell us a little about your role here at Southern Company.
Yeah, well, it's a pleasure to be here. I am a DEI program manager, and I work at Georgia Power. Been with the company for about 3.5 years. So what I do in my role at Georgia Power is I manage our learning and development programs around diversity, equity, and inclusion. About 2 years ago, the topic of psychological safety really started becoming more and more talked about. So we set out about two and a half years ago to really create a fostering psychological safety workshop that we offer 4 times a year to help people learn ways that they can create a psychologically safe environment within their team.
Okay, so what does that mean? So you use the term several times, psychological safety. So like, sure. What is that?
Yeah, it's a great question. And again, it's becoming talked about all throughout the United States right now. But the topic itself actually originated in the 60s and the 70s. But then it got bigger when Dr. Amy Edmondson, she's a Novartis professor at the Harvard Business School, she laid out a strong definition of it. She said that it's a shared belief held by members of a team that the team is safe for interpersonal risk-taking. So in other words, members can ask those questions that they don't know the answer to without fear of judgment. They can reveal a part of their identity to someone without risking a damage to their reputation or their sense of inclusion within that team. They can put out those half-baked ideas so that we can grow and create new innovative solutions.
Well, you know, that's really interesting because it really sounds like something that we've all wanted at work, right? Like, it's not a new thing. It's just a term to call something that we've really all wanted, right? We all want to feel great at work. So, Haas, in the intro, I talked about the fact that May was Mental Health Awareness Month, right? So connect for us psychological safety and mental health awareness. Let's make sure we understand how that all relates to each other.
So there's an extremely strong connection between mental well-being and psychological safety. There are studies after studies have found that individuals on teams with a higher sense of psychological safety experience significantly less anxiety and stress. Now, I want you to think about this here. So if an individual, I'll give you an example. If an individual is LGBTQ and they can't come out on their team, they constantly have to go through that mental gymnastics of, yeah. Is it safe to come out? Is it safe to mention my partner? Is it safe to mention what I did on this weekend? And that creates stress and anxiety. I'll give you another example. If you're sitting in a team meeting and you know you have an idea to help the current situation, but you don't feel like you can bring that up, that creates stress and that it creates anxiety, right?
And it makes you tired.
That's right.
Right? You just get exhausted with the mental gymnastics of everything else except your job.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And when we can address those concerns, build a culture where it's okay if you come out to me. It's okay if you bring up what you think is a stupid question. It's okay if you tell me about a mistake or a failure or anything like that. When we can bring that up and we can learn from it, accept one another, grow from it, then we really work on creating an environment that's psychologically safe, but in turn, we're helping others and their mental well-being as well.
That it's a what I'd say too is it's about a sense of peace. Right. So when you don't feel psychologically safe, I'd imagine that you feel turmoil all the time. Right?
That's right. Yeah. We don't want to go through those mental gymnastics constantly.
Yeah.
And we've all been in that. Right. Think about that meeting where you didn't want to speak up. Think about that meeting where somebody kept cutting you off. That's anxiety inducing. That's stressful. Think about that time where you felt like you are pushing down a authentic part of yourself. That's anxiety inducing and stress causing. And that's going to contribute to that mental health, right? So establishing that psychologically safe environment really helps improve mental health.
What are the consequences of lacking that psychological safety?
Yeah, so to understand some of the consequences of not having psychological safety, we have to understand the benefits of having psychological safety.
Right, right.
So Google, have you ever heard of Project Aristotle?
No.
So years ago, Google launched this multi-million dollar three-year study. They wanted to figure out what made their teams so successful? Because they couldn't figure it out. They had teams that were successful that would be a mix of introverts and extroverts and different expertise, but nothing made sense as to why certain teams were so high performing. So they brought in these scholars, and what these scholars found was that if a team during a meeting spoke roughly about the same time, if everybody in that meeting spoke roughly at the same amount of time, then they were more innovative, they were more creative, and they were more likely to collaborate as well.
So it sounds like it's a team with a level playing field. Everybody feels equal they're in those conversations.
That's right, definitely. So this is called ostentatious listening, is what scholars refer to this as. And Google now credits this. They credit this sense of psychological safety, this sense that everybody has something to contribute, everyone should feel included on their teams. They credit that as one of the most number one contributing factors to their success as a company.
Wow. You know, I'm thinking about teams that I've been on, and you're right. When everybody feels like they can contribute, it's so much better.
Right.
It feels better.
That's right. Yeah. We've all been in those meetings where we're a little hesitant to ask that question. We're a little hesitant to ask for help. We're a little hesitant to step out of our comfort zones, bring up a new idea, a new initiative, or even perhaps even pointing out a mistake that someone else is making. So when we remove those barriers, we really create a more successful, a more productive team, but also teams where individuals, bringing this back to mental health, individuals are more relaxed, more willing to contribute. I'm going to give you just two statistics around this mental health topic real quick that I think you're going to be interested in. And that's, there was this study by the Journal of Occupational Health Psychology. And they found that teams with high levels of psychological safety were 47% more likely to report good mental health.
Hey, so let me make sure I heard you correctly. Please. Did you say teams with psychological safety?
Teams that have a sense of psychological safety.
Yes. What percentage more likely?
47% likely to report good mental health.
Wow.
47%. Awesome. And additionally, teams with high psychological safety, members reported 20% fewer doctor visits. And that's according to the Journal of Applied Psychology. So I think it's really good to talk about this here, especially as it pertains to Southern Company, because you can see how psychological safety really ties into our values as a company, right? Acting with integrity, intentional inclusion, superior performance, all of these things, and safety first. We can see these ties right here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right. You know, because when we talk about safety, I know we tend to think about physical safety, but safety first. Can and should include psychological safety too. You're right.
Definitely.
About that.
Another scholar, he talks about what psychological safety is really about a culture of rewarded vulnerability. So what he says, and we have this idea that vulnerability is this inherently negative experience, right? But it's not. Right. Vulnerability is just a human experience. Whenever we ask a question, right, we're saying, I don't know the answer when we're asking a question, right? We're exposing ourselves to vulnerability. When we reveal something about ourselves, maybe that is a part of our identity, we're exposing ourselves to vulnerability.
So Hash, you mentioned that there were four stages to psychological safety. Why don't you talk a little bit about those four stages in depth?
Definitely, yes. Yeah. So the four stages of psychological safety are inclusion safety, learner safety, contributor safety, and challenger safety. So each of those four stages speak to our needs as human beings. Inclusion safety speaks to that basic human need of needing to feel belonged and welcomed. Learner safety, that speaks to that human need to grow, to learn new skills, to gain new knowledge. Contributor safety speaks to that need of, contributing to something, right?
Right.
So
right.
Taking that knowledge and those skills that we learned and applying them. And then challenger safety speaks to that basic human need to want to make things better. So it speaks to that idea that if I challenge something, if I can challenge something in a productive way, I can help improve it. I can help make it stronger and make it better.
And they all kind of like build on each other, right? So if you don't have the first safety, you're not going to get to the fourth one,
that's
right?
Yeah. Scholars say that if you don't have inclusion safety, and this is where we can see the big tie-in with diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Yeah.
But if you don't have inclusion safety, you're not going to move up those stages. It's also important to note too that vulnerability, as we go up those stages, vulnerability increases. There's going to be more opportunities for vulnerability, especially when we reach that challenger stage. And that challenger stage is one of the most difficult stages for us to fully unlock and achieve and harness our full potential.
Yeah, and that relates back to trust, which is a value for us, of course.
That's right.
And so, yeah, if you can't trust each other, you can't be vulnerable and you can't proceed through psychological safety.
That's right. And if we aren't able to bring our best selves to work, to be trustful with one another, to be innovative and creative, not only is it about trust, right?
Yeah.
But then we can't achieve superior performance.
That's right. So how do you know if the team you're on is psychologically safe, right? So let's say you're a leader and you want to have some guideposts and guide rails to try to figure out if the team has a good level of psychological safety. How do you know?
Yeah. So there are some surveys out there, like Dr. Clark's organization, Leader Factor. They have a great survey, but for a more informal process, to kind of diagnose your own kind of things without the survey, there's a few things you can look at. So as a leader, you can think, do you know the people's names on your team? Do you know their pronouns? Do you know how to pronounce the names? This speaks to that first stage, that inclusion safety stage, right? If somebody doesn't know my name or who I am or show concern, then do they really value me? Do I feel like I'm part of that team? We've all been in those situations. Maybe it was a sports team. Maybe it was a place of worship or just a general social gathering. Maybe you went out with your friend's friends and you didn't fit in. Many of us don't go back to those situations, right? We don't want to be part of that. That's not fun. That's not inclusive. It's not, you know, we don't get to be our authentic selves in those spaces. It's the same thing there. So are people using your name? Are they celebrating you, who you are? Are they making you feel included and valued? There's some other things too that you can look at. So are members of your team allowed to say, I don't know? So if you ask me a question, can I say, I don't know the answer? And can that be celebrated, right? Like, hey, that's thank you for sharing that. And let me help you find ways to learn.
You know, and that's a real struggle, in particular, if you're in leadership. Sometimes the hardest thing to say to the people, everybody's looking at you for the answer, is to say, you know, I don't know. I have to find out and get back to you. But that can be tough.
Yeah. One thing that I think is a great indicator too is, as a leader, do you let your team challenge you? And I don't say challenge in like a negative way. I mean challenge to exchange ideas and exchange thoughts and beliefs, to create stronger ideas. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So are team members actively coming up to you and saying, hey, I think there might be a mistake here, or hey, I think there's another way of pointing this out. And if your team isn't doing that with you, there might be some opportunities to expand on psychological safety within your team.
Wow, those are really good things, Haas. I mean, it's and they're really good traits and habits to really see in your team as a leader in particular, or are you sitting on a team? So I'm on a team and I noticed that we don't have the level of psychological safety that I think we ought to have. Like some of the things that you talk about, people aren't speaking up, or people are afraid to challenge, or people are afraid to offer ideas, or the one that I am most irritated by, we all walk outside the meeting and then people want to talk about it, right?
That's right.
So, but I'm an individual in the meeting, right? So what can I do to help create a better environment for psychological safety for the team?
Yeah, this is a great question because it highlights what both leaders and individual contributors can do in meetings to help foster that sense of psychological safety. So let's start with the leader perspective. So setting those ground rules, a leader needs to really explain that we're all learning here, right? We're all experts in certain areas and certain expertise, but we're all still learning and we're all still growing, or we should all still be
we
learning
all should,
and,
should, yeah.
And should still be growing. So the leader should really come in and set those ground rules. We're not going to talk over each other, right? We are not going to get involved in that social friction. We want the intellectual friction. We want people to exchange and debate on ideas and their merits.
Hey, so what's social friction? Just real quick, because you said that. What's
definitely,
that?
Yeah, social friction is, that's when those egos are getting involved, right?
Yeah.
And it just escalates and escalates. And now we're starting to say, oh, that idea is stupid, or that's a terrible idea. Or you're reminding people, no, we shouldn't go with his idea because he made a mistake last week.
Right. Or you know, he hadn't been here that long or something like that.
Exactly. So we're just engaging in that social friction, and then problems just become more and more problematic.
Okay.
We want that intellectual friction though.
And what's that look like?
That's a healthy exchange of debates and ideas. Bentina, hey, thanks for contributing that idea. That's awesome. The only concern I have about that idea is A, B, and C.
Right?
So what do you think we talk about this more? That would be an example, right? I'm coming on. I'm thanking you for your contribution. I'm thanking you for adding value to this discussion. I think you have a great idea, but let's just talk about just one component of that idea that I think there might be an opportunity for us to expand upon: intellectual friction.
Oh, I like that. I'm gonna have to start using that, intellectual friction. That's pretty cool. All right, so you talked about what leaders can do.
Yeah.
Right, so what can an individual do, individual contributor?
So individual contributors, they can be asking their colleagues, hey, we haven't heard from you in this meeting, and I really value your feedback and your input. What are your thoughts on this? They can do things like, hey, Sarah had a great idea 3 weeks ago, and Sarah, would you mind, if you feel comfortable, sharing that idea with us? And we're doing a couple of things there. Again, we're including them in that meeting. We're telling them that their contribution has merit, that they are valued, and that we want to hear them. So it's so easy for individual contributors to often look up at leaders and say, why aren't they creating psychological safety?
Good point.
But there are things that we all can be doing to create that environment of psychological safety.
Yeah, I once had a, it was a CEO at the time, tell me, if you want to know what the culture is, go ask a lineman, right? Because we all create the culture that we want to have. And so you're really right about that. And it also gives people ownership and control, right? So we're all responsible for this culture and for creating the safety.
That's right. Definitely.
Oh, that's really cool. All right. So unfortunately, we may have employees who are on teams where they don't feel psychologically safe and they can't create the safety that they need. So what do you do if you find yourself in a situation where it's really an unhealthy team for you?
Definitely. So psychological safety is really about creating that a culture, right? A culture of rewarded vulnerability, that culture where we can take interpersonal risk. So, you know, if it rises to a level of, discrimination or harassment, that's beyond psychological safety. And at that point, that's ethics and compliance, right? Getting them involved, HRBPs involved. But there are things that we can be doing as individual contributors regarding psychological safety when they don't go to those levels, right? If an individual feels comfortable talking to their manager, talking to their leader, to their supervisor, saying, and it could not just be the manager, it could be also the team dynamic as well. Yeah. So if they feel comfortable having that conversation with the manager, talking to their colleagues as well. Hey, you kept interrupting this person during the meeting. Do you understand how that could really impact their sense of safety, their sense of inclusion upon our team? And people want to see value in their work. They want to know that their work has meaning. So by constantly pointing out their failures, their mistakes, and not taking that moment to celebrate, one, their successes, but also celebrate their mistakes as learning opportunities, as lessons that we can learn from, then you're not helping them create value in that work. So by taking a moment, acknowledging your colleagues, acknowledging their contributions, their successes, and then all of us framing our mistakes as learning opportunities can go a long way in creating that sense of psychological safety.
Well, you know, Haas, what you're really talking about is all of us role modeling it, right?
Not That's
right. looking to someone else to role model the behavior, but role modeling it and understanding if you're in a situation where it's just not psychologically safe for you, then you should use the company processes to find a way to make it safer for yourself.
That's right.
Yeah. Man, I'm loving this conversation, Haas. We need to take just a quick break, and we'll be back in a second.
Life happens. When things aren't going as expected, Southern Company has resources that can help. Whether it's family therapy, guided breathing exercises, counseling, or therapeutic sounds to help you relax, we've got you covered. If you or someone you know needs assistance in time of crisis, you can call or text 988.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm still here with Haas. We're still talking about psychological safety, so we're going to dive right in. All right, well, do you want to talk about some scenarios? How about I throw you a couple and you tell me what we should do?
Let's do it.
That works?
Let's
okay.
do it.
All right, so we're going to apply what we learned today, and that the whole kind of learning principle. And it's safe to assume that everybody desires a workplace in which they feel included. I mean, it always strikes me that we all have this innate human need to want to belong and want to work and be and exist in places where people treat us with respect. And it sounds like psychological safety is really about how we do that, how you make that happen. So let's go with scenario one. I'm in a meeting and an employee is questioning a manager's decision, but worries that it's not safe to voice their own opinion because it might be viewed as a personal attack. And I think we've all worked occasionally with people who it's difficult to give them feedback or ask them questions. So how does that scenario impact the productivity and potential of that team?
Yeah, so I think from this scenario, there is definitely an opportunity to improve and increase psychological safety on this team. So this employee might be questioning a manager's decision because there might be a very wrong error in their work or their idea or a flaw. And if we have that opportunity to talk about that, we can make that idea better. It would be in that manager's best interest to ensure that everybody in that room, going back to that Google example that we talked about, that ostentatious listening, right? Ensuring that everybody in the room gets to have some input when, as much as possible, then we can make our ideas even stronger and even better. And when we don't do that, we can impact the productivity and the potential of our team, because the team might not bring up future examples of something of mistakes that are being made, of flaws that might be easily fixed. You know, I always like to say success is often found in the smallest of details. And if you allow employees to point out those small details in a constructive way, I might add, but if you allow them to point out those small details that we can improve upon, we can make ideas all the more better and all the more stronger.
Okay, so I'm the leader. You come to me, Haas, and you say, because I always do find that employees aren't able sometimes to articulate things in a way that is as graceful as it could be, right? So you're an employee, you walk in and you essentially tell me that you think my idea is a dumb idea. You do it as gracefully as you can, but I definitely, as a leader here, this employee just called my idea dumb. So what's the best way for me to respond? And how do I kind of get myself in a good place to respond to that type of situation?
That's a great question. So what we're talking about now here is that fourth stage that I mentioned, and that's challenger safety. Challenger safety is that fourth stage for a reason. We have to build upon those other stages to achieve it, right? That sense of inclusion, that value for learning, the value for contributing to ideas and initiatives. But it's also the hardest stage, because this is the stage where egos get involved and also where communication styles can be very dependent on the outcomes, right? So there's two things going on here in this situation. If I come to you and I'm being a little judgy, I'm being a little rude, it's totally understandable that you're going to respond that way, right? So one, as an individual, I need to make sure that we're talking about the idea based upon its merits. I am removing those personal attributes away from that argument. And then as a leader, we have to embrace that mindset that we're all learning, that when we're all able to talk and contribute to this project, we're making that project grow. So it really has to come from a place of, I'm going to point this out because it's in our best interest as a team, because we want to grow and be successful. And then the leader needs to understand that with well intentions, they're coming to make this project more successful and better as well. Now, if you find yourself in that situation, if I came at you sideways, Mentina, there's opportunity, that there would be great opportunity for us to talk about how my approach, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
To ensure that we're having productive dialogue.
You know, it's interesting you say that, Haas. I often tell employees, don't worry about dressing up, make it pretty. Just tell me what it is. And then later on, we'll talk about how you could have said it better.
That's right.
Right? Because you're right. Sometimes people don't know how to articulate it in a way that it can be received.
I like
but I
that.
Always say, as a leader, it's our job to try to receive it and receive it with good intent.
Definitely. Yeah. One thing that's absolutely huge is encourage half-baked ideas and half-baked answers. And I love this because somebody might have an idea that is 90% right on the money, right on the nose. But if they just need help fleshing out that additional 10%. And if you encourage that, having those half-baked ideas and half-baked initiatives, you can talk about it as a team and make them even better.
That's right. That's really cool. All right. You ready to go to scenario
two? Let's do it.
All right, cool. All right. So John is feeling a little overwhelmed with his workload, knows that if he asks the team for help, he'll be viewed negatively. At least he believes that, right? It may be that his perception is correct. Sometimes our perceptions are not correct, but it may be. He remembers asking for help once and no one was willing to jump in and provide him with any assistance. So what does John's fear about looking bad for needing help say about the team's psychological safety?
Well, like the last scenario, the fact that John has this fear indicates that there are opportunities to improve psychological safety. But I want to go back to that one part in the scenario, because he remembers asking for help once before and no one was willing to jump in to provide it. All right, so let's go back to that rewarded vulnerability example. So to bring Dr. Clark back into this, he says that when our vulnerability is rewarded, we have psychological safety, or we move towards psychologically safer teams. But when our vulnerability is punished, we move towards psychological danger. So there's definitely opportunities here for us to expand upon psychological safety, given that John has this concern that he's going to be looked at in a poor way, right? This is that vulnerability. He doesn't want to be vulnerable.
And I know he only did it once, but I always tell people, if you try something one time and it doesn't work, man, that second time is really, really tough.
That's
so it's
right.
Important that we respond well the first time. And they may not even realize that they weren't being a good kind of jumping in and helping him that first time.
Yeah, when we reward or punish vulnerability, yeah. They talk about two responses. So the two responses that they talk about is the fear response and the performance response. With the performance response, we remember when our vulnerability was rewarded. We spring into action. We know our way out, how to address this. We're comfortable asking for help, asking for assistance. But when we're punished, like in this example here, we respond with the fear response. That's when that anxiety comes in. That's when that stress comes in. That's when that life satisfaction starts going down because we're in a constant state of fear. And you can see in this example that that's what's going on here.
All right, so I'm managing this team and I notice this is happening. So what do I do? You know, how do I help create that psychologically safe workplace?
So it's important that you establish from the very group dynamic with your team that no question is off limits. We are working to establish this culture where you can feel comfortable approaching us. But it's important also to, say John was to come to you and voice this concern, then he's not asking his colleagues for help. So there has to be a reason for that. There could be some individual components, sure, but then why does he not feel comfortable going to his colleagues? So as a leader, you really have to get out there and say, hey, if your colleagues come to you for help, if they come to you and ask a question, reward that vulnerability where possible. Now, it might be that the other team members are, they have their own fair share of a workload as well.
They're overwhelmed as well.
Yeah. Right. So, but if we can put it out there and talk about it as a team, we can come up with solutions. What are some possible ways that we can get this work done and do it in a innovative, creative, and productive way?
You know, you raise a good point there, Haas, about talking about it as a team. Right. And that being vulnerable, the whole team together to really talk about it. He may not be the only one struggling. It may be that they all need to talk about that, but
That's right.
They have to feel like they're safe to have that conversation about their workload.
Yeah. One thing that I think is really a good practice is for managers to have check-ins with their entire team. Ask about the workload. Ask about their levels of stress. Ask about how can we really improve upon this and make this more innovative so that we're not running into these problems, so that we can increase the success of our team.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. And sometimes as a leader, you have an agenda in a meeting and you only want to talk about the things on the agenda. And it's a good habit to just pull people in and have lunch or sit down and chit chat and try to figure out what's going on.
Definitely.
So, okay.
Definitely.
All right, we're going to go to scenario three. You
Let's
ready for that?
Yes.
So Sarah has an awesome idea about how to make an improvement in her team's operations. And her concern is that if she mentions it and then it fails, she'll be judged by her colleagues. So is Sarah's fear a sign that the team is not psychologically safe?
Definitely. Again, in this scenario, opportunities to improve psychological safety. Sarah, as I was just talking about with the idea, Sarah might have a revolutionary idea that could change the way the team works, the business works, even, you know, perhaps the functionings of the industry itself. But if we don't give Sarah an opportunity to talk about this idea, we'll never get that great idea out.
We won't get the improvement that we need, right?
Yeah. Someone once described it to me as a soccer game. If somebody doesn't take a shot, there's no possibility you're going to score a goal.
Yeah. It's like a putt.
Yeah.
You got to get all the way to the hole.
Exactly. The more shots you take, the more opportunities you have for a goal. And that's what we need to encourage here is Sarah needs to be able to take as many shots as she can. And if we talk about it, if we encourage her to put out that half-baked idea or say, hey, Sarah, that's a great idea. Let's talk about some risk. What are some of the, let's do a SWOT analysis,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Let's analyze the strengths, the weaknesses, the opportunities of this. What are the strengths that her idea has and how can we improve upon it?
Yeah, you know, Haas, is at, I often say I have about 1,000 ideas and about 50 of them are good. And so, but those 50 ones that are good are awesome, right? So we want to try to get them out. They're I'd say they're no dumb ideas, but there might be a couple. But they're, for the most part, what people offer is, it's good to hear it. It's good to get it out. It's good to discuss it. So
definitely. If you don't mention those, you know, you might have to get 1,000 ideas out to get to those 50 good ones, right? Or if you mention 1,000 ideas, you'll have 50 good ones.
Yeah.
Right? Encourage those ideas. Encourage those bad ideas, those half-baked thoughts, and put them back to the team and engage in that intellectual friction again. Engage in that healthy dialogue with one another.
Yeah. Well, all of this sounds like it takes a lot of time, though. Talk to me a little bit about that. So how do we create or make the time to do this? Because it's much, much easier if I don't take anybody else's ideas and just run with it, right?
That's right. So it's really about, I'm a big person for efficiency, right? I don't want to go out of the way to have to do all of these different things. Wherever I can, I want to include these in my everyday practices.
Yeah.
So it's not about going out and adding all of these behaviors and all of these things. And what you have to do is just build upon your current behaviors. Familiarize yourself with what psychological safety is. Familiarize yourself with best practices. You can do that through workshops. We've got a lot of going-ons around Southern Company right now around this topic. But familiarize yourself with those behaviors. Build that into the groundwork of your team, right? So at the very beginning of your team meeting, establish those new group norms. We're not going to cut people off. We're not going to take credit for other people's ideas. We're not going to engage in personal insults. We're all going to try to talk, roughly an even amount of time if possible. We want to encourage contributions. And if we do all that, we can embed it just into our everyday behaviors so that it's not this additional, task that we have to add on to our day-to-day, but just building it into our behaviors. And it'll just naturally become a part of what we do and who we are.
Yeah, and I'd add too, if you use these behaviors as a way that you operate, then you save the time of dealing with kind of psychological issues, mental issues, emotional issues, team dynamic issues that result from not creating the safety.
That's right.
Or just not having the best ideas out there and having to rework stuff because you didn't really ensure that it was, you did the best process to get the best ideas out there.
That's right. The more engaged that people are with their work, the more successful, the more innovative, and the more involved that they're going to be with that work.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So when we embed that just into our day-to-day behaviors and continue to learn, continue to grow, encourage everyone that we're all students, no matter what our level is, whether we are the CEO or the, wherever we're at, we're all students and learning something, and we all have something to provide with one another. And once we encourage that, once we foster that, we're on our way to building more psychologically safer teams.
Wow. Well, I hope everybody learned something today. A lot of times when you do these too, what you figure out is what you deeply already know, there's a term for it, and it's the right thing to do, right? So we all know that we want to create a place where people feel valued, where they feel included. And now we can call that where they feel psychologically safe. So
that's right.
But it's all about creating that best environment for us to be successful.
Definitely.
Cool beans. Thank you, Haas.
Of course.
Thank you for your valuable insights. We're so lucky to have you, and thank you for joining us today. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Remember, creating a psychologically safe workplace is a journey that we're on together. Every step brings us closer to an environment where everybody can thrive. And I encourage you to keep the conversation going. There's lots of stuff out there on the internet to read about this. Share this episode with your colleagues and team members. And again, take care and be safe. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the SoPod Network. Remember, you can access all podcasts on Apple, Spotify, and Google Podcast platforms.